Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of Wine Fabet Street. Before we get started down to Wine Fabet Road, I'd like to give a shout out to ListenHer03 for giving us a 4-star review entitled Great Wine. I really liked Dracaena Wine's Wine Fabet. Can't wait to hear more as they move forward. Fun collaboration between wine facts, science, and opinions. There's so much I didn't know, and it is nice to learn more from their podcast. Plus, with some humor added in there. So thanks a lot, ListenHer03, and I'm glad you like it. Welcome to Wine Fabet Street. Welcome to Dracaena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine. Welcome to this episode of Wine Fabet Street, where I, myself, and Debbie, a.k.a. HB Wine Goddess, come together and discuss wine one letter at a time. And in this month's episode, the letter of the day is F, where it stands for ferment. And the white ferment grape variety has flourished in Eastern Europe for centuries. It's best known for its wines from the Tokaj wine region of Hungary, where ferment is particularly susceptible to the Botrytis fungus, which is typically what most people think of when they hear ferment. They think of that sweet dessert wine. And what we have learned in this episode is that that is not necessarily true, that there also is dry ferment out there. So join in on Wine Fabet Street and welcome to the letter F. And we are here on Wine Fabet Street. Today, the letter of the day is F, okay? But before we get into that, Debbie, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Okay, so I'm Debbie Giaquindo. I'm the Hudson Valley Wine Goddess. I'm a wine blogger. I'm an author. I'm a writer. What else am I?
All around special individual.
I'm a mom of two. I've got two dogs. I got a husband. I also am co-owner of Happy Bitch Wines, and I think that's about it.
I'm Lori, and my husband Michael and I own a boutique winery in Paso Robles known as Dracaena Wines. We specialize in Cabernet Franc. We are the founders of Cab Franc Day, which is December 4th. So go grab yourself a bottle of Cab Franc. And hey, if you want to order it from DracaenaWines.com, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But grab yourself a bottle of Cabernet Franc. Head over to social media all day on December 4th. Follow hashtag Cab Franc Day. And Twitter chat is at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, followed by a virtual chat at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. But other than that, that's what we do. We focus in on Cab Franc and making sure that people get the concept that it is more than a blending grape. But today, we are not about Cab Franc. We are about what, Deb?
Ferment.
Ferment. And we are going to hear from Elmo right now. So the letter of the day is F, and it is ferment, and it is from Hungary. That is
Hungary, where my grandfather's from.
There you go. So, Debbie, why don't you start us off with the general characteristics?
Okie dokie. Let's see. So this is the grape, Tokaj. That's pretty much what the grape looks like. Ferment is a late ripening grape, which results in wines that are very strong, have very strong tannins, high acidity, and high alcohol levels. And this makes it a very versatile grape. It ripens late and has a nose of fresh fruits, often compared to ripe pear. Its significant acidity and alcohol produce characterful wines, sometimes with a touch of tartness and minerality. And I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Having cheated and started already.
Nice.
It is big on acid. And Lori and I participate in a chat called Wine Chat, and we've had, or Wine Studio, and we've had many discussions on high acid wine. And ferment is definitely high acid wine. It's great for the acid head in you. And also ferment, that's a picture of the grapes with botrytis. So it's called noble rot, and it makes perfect for the sweet wines. Now, Tokai is made with the ferment grape, and it tends to be sweet. And that's what it looks like when it's got botrytis, and that's how they make the ferment or the Tokai. And there's a picture of the Tokai.
So just as a sidebar, so if you could see, that's a big difference in color between a dry ferment and the Tokai.
Yes, it is.
Well, the special term.
So ferment results in a perfectly barren azus with long aging potential, going dating all the way back to the 16th century when, you know, ferment has been the dominant grape in Tokai and the main ingredient in Tokai Azu. And that, you know, that's what ferment has, you know, looks like with botrytis and in a Tokai.
Is it sad that when I read about Azu, I thought of Zazu from The Lion King?
Oh, did you really?
I don't know. That's where my brain went.
Hey, whatever, you can make the connection. So botrytis gives a characteristic golden color, caramel, and dried apricot aromas, and many layers of complexity. But in the past 15 years or so, they started to do single varietal ferments, and they've happened to do it dry. So they've really, you know, I don't want to say experimented, but they kind of like thought out of the box and said, you know, why don't we try something different? So we have dry ferment that comes in three styles. We have stainless steel, barrel aged, and new and old school. So maybe that's four styles. So ferment in stainless steel. I'm just trying to look at my notes here. So ferments in aged in stainless steel are usually very crisp with greenish light hay color, which mine kind of has that light hay color.
Yeah, yours is lighter than mine.
Yeah.
Mine is more golden, but I still marked it as the lighter color.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's a challenge to tame the acidity. So sometimes it's blended with the lower acid grapes, but not everybody likes the result of steel fermented ferments. Say that 10 times fast. Steel fermented ferments. But you really need to really like acidity in your wine to enjoy them. And I personally love them, and I see them as you know, fresh, you know, grape with alcohol. These wines are not always the most complex, but they are refreshing. Some also have grapefruit, green apple aromas. They make a nice aperitif. They can be served. Well, I'm not going to go into that because that's your deal. I don't want to steal your thunder. So we have dry barrel aged fermented new school. And these wines are very different in category from the steel tank that I just previously mentioned. The barrel aged, especially if there's some batonnage involved, they can really tame the acidity and add body, creaminess, and roundness to the wine. It's almost, you know, I'm trying to think. Millbrook in the Hudson Valley makes a Tokai.
Oh.
With a Tokai grape. And they have a steel fermented and then neutral barrel fermented. So the one that doesn't have any oak is much more acidic. And the one that's just a neutral oak, it just takes away some of that little bit of that acidity. So That's just my way to explain it to you. You know, the added body creaminess and roundness. And it also adds flavor. So these wines also can be aged. They can be aged for a decade or two. And I'm not going to go into what they can be, what food. But I will tell you, I had mine with pesto tonight.
I had mine with a Cliff Bar.
We won't go into
I am not the person to do food and wine. No, no. But it went very well with my macadamia nut Cliff Bar. It did.
Oh, I can see the macadamia
nuts. Yes. I chose that purposely. It was a pairing, you know. I chose that purposely.
I could have
gone with the peanut butter one, and I opted with the white macadamia nut. I know. Okay. See?
So I also wanted to tell you that Tokaj is important to understand that there's all different terroirs within where it's grown. So each single vineyard will vary in flavors, aromas. And so it really makes for a good terroir-focused wine.
There you go.
So, and just our colors, you know, and just looking at the two different wines that we have. So now we're into old school. So barrel aged fermented old school. And this is what many Tokajs, they used to make Tokaj at home for everyday drinking. So this wine is not always well balanced. Think of this as your garage wine. Don't shoot me yet. But, you know, sometimes it's over-oxidized. And it can even have a good amount of botrytis. But it's a wine you'll remember. Probably will stand out. I have not had this. Or I would let you know, because I will be vocal. And at its best, it's got it's an incredible wine with orange, dried apricot, and caramel aromas, with the nose and color of a dessert wine. And while it says here that it's actually very dry also, but some of these over-oxidized ferments are reminiscent of sherry. I wonder if my family was making it in their basement. They had vineyards, though. I've seen pictures of their, cellar.
That's awesome.
My family had vineyards in Tapakola, which I'm probably not even pronouncing it correctly, in Hungary. And my family.
That sounds more Italian than Hung.
It's T A P O C. I don't know how to spell it. and my family had, there was the house that controlled the cellar. And I've seen pictures. My aunt went last year. And I was just like, wow, that's way cool. Love to do that.
That's awesome. There's Elmo again for the history. Okay. And so. Ferment is a superior Hungarian wine grape variety indigenous to the Hungary's Tokaj region. And there we go. I just liked that map. I thought that was just so cute.
I like that too.
Like, it's like a coloring book photo. Okay. So this particular cultivar has always been widespread. And it's actually the most predominant grape in the Tokaj region, and with over 70% of all of the plantings in the region being ferment. So it's, you know, they were like, this is our jam and this is what we're sticking with. Okay. Once known as the wine of kings, Tokaj dates actually all the way back to the early 18th century. So it's been around for a while. But the UNESCO World Heritage Site in Tokaj Hegyalja, Hegyalja, I don't know.
Can't help you there.
of northeastern Hungary and southeastern Slovakia has become an established wine region hundreds of years before then. So, you know, it got recognized much later than when it was actually established. Tokaj stakes its claim as actually the best of sweet dessert wines. So when the wines, you know, when the region started to become famous, it was definitely like the Botrytis wines where they were sweet, which in all honesty, when we chose ferment, I was a little nervous about it because I do not like sweet wines. It's just not what I do. So I was very happy when I started to do the research to realize that there's really a big variation in dryness to sweetness of the wines. So I was very happy when I went into Gary's in Wayne, New Jersey, shout out, that they had a dry ferment because I was going to be a little nervous about those sweets, about the sweet ones. But they do, you know, that's really what they stake their claim to. And as you stated, ferment azu, or zazu as I like it, that's using the botrytis, and you can see how it shrivels up. So it's the noble rot, and that's what provides that sweetness flavor. Cause, you know, if you think about it, the grape has X amount of sugar in it. And then as the grape itself starts to shrivel, there's that sugar gets more and more concentrated. So that's what provides for that, that sweet, sweet wine. It is highly acidic. It is, the wine is produced from actually three combinations. It's from ferment, Hirslevelu, and Muscat Blanc. And in 2014, to hopefully get more people to be aware of ferment in the United States, Ferment USA was established, and they are an educational program. So they're a campaign that actually focuses in on the dry ferment. So I guess they figured, you know what, people know that it's sweet, and there's some people who stay away from it, like me, because they thought that it was so sweet. So Ferment USA is out there trying to educate people that there is a dry ferment from the Tokai region and that it is their flagship wine. There actually is some kind of major controversy over where ferment actually originated from. It is a white varietal that's cultivated today under a lot of names. There's a lot of synonyms for this grape. But the former Austro-Hungarian Empire, mostly in Hungary near Tokaj, which is 120 miles northeast of Budapest, which is almost into Slovakia and Ukraine. But what they really, it actually is not native to Austro-Hungary. And the DNA scientists say that ferment is actually closely related to a grape known as Gouas Blanc, which is actually found in France, because we know all grapes either come from France or Italy. I mean, no matter how you want to look at it, it all goes back to France or Italy. And it is actually one of the parents of Chardonnay. So according to the geneticist Carol Meredith, ferment is actually either a parent or an offspring of this Gouas Blanc. But if you go to written history, Gouas Blanc is got written earlier than ferment. So they think that that's the parent. But Gouas Blanc is also the parent of Gamay, Riesling, and Chardonnay. So it was very busy, similar to Cab Franc being a very busy boy with Carmenere, Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, you know, I guess they get around.
Who's your mama? Who's your daddy?
Right. They know for sure that ferment flourished around Tokaj since 1571 and that it is the most prominent grape of today. Like other European countries, Hungary was hit hard by phylloxera. And towards the end of the 19th century, the Hungarian wine industry had barely begun to recover from the phylloxera, which is this ugly little dude. Okay. Yeah, he's not a good guy. So they just barely recovered from phylloxera when the two world wars started, and then the Great Depression and civil strife sidetracked the development. So during the communist period, wine production was actually controlled by the state. And whenever that happens, you know, it's no good. You know, so they were much more concerned with just pumping out wine, I should say. And they were much more interested in quantity versus quality. So, you know, they got hit with phylloxera, and then it's like just bam, 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 pump out wine, and the quality went down. But then after the communist era ended, it started to increase, you know, the quality. They started to focus in on the quality. So the Royal Tokai Wine Company, it was established in 1990 and has been one of the leaders of Hungary's post-communist enological renaissance. And this company was inspired and founded by Hugh Johnson, whose goal was to revive and bring back the international acclaim of the wine's once history, which was renowned in the wine region. So the wines, as they say, would make angels sing out loud in praise. Isn't that cute? I'm not really sure what that means, but it's cute. And as you had mentioned, it goes, you can get a range from dry to slightly sweet to very sweet. So whatever type of wine you like, there is a ferment for that. Oh, by the way, yes, Ferment Day is actually February 1st. Did you know there was a national?
I did, which is my 5 fact.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So this, okay. This is Social Vignerons. I saw that on his site. I was like, check that out. That's like awesome that there is a Ferment Day. But before I close off on history, I have to give a major, major, major shout out to, and I am going to butcher her name, and I apologize up front for it, but Virag Lastowski contacted me on Facebook and sent me some nice little information about Ferment that I'm going to read and share, because that's just awesome. Like, I love social media.
I think it is too. Right? I do too.
And I appreciate that's so awesome. And you know what? I'm going to have 50,000 other questions for her later on. But this is what she wrote to me in Facebook, that Ferment originates from the Central Eastern Europe. If the area of Romania, Slovenia, Croatia, or Hungary, that is, it's unknown, but they think it's from that area. It is a rather resistant grape variety due to its thick skin, but is sensitive to frost and prone to botrytis, which, you know, like, in some grapes, we don't want it prone to botrytis, but because Ferment does the azu, they're happy that it's prone to botrytis. As a dry wine, it is somewhere between a Chenin Blanc for its floral notes, a Chardonnay, somewhat neutral with good acid, and can give the terroir notes back really nicely, and Riesling because of the soils, especially the ones from some areas of Tokai, where it makes up for around 60% of the region's grapes, as there is very heavily volcanic soils, she said tufa rock beds. I don't know what tufa is, so I'm going to have to look that up, where it grows the best. So that, I didn't know it was all volcanic. That's pretty awesome. So it provides beautiful minerality. Tokai has a very diverse soil. It differs from vineyard to vineyard, just like Burgundy has Chardonnay. We have the Ferment. It loves the volcanic soil the most. As a grape, it is growing like crazy. So it is a pain in the to prune. So it's a very, there's vigorous. A lot of greenery. Yes, it's very vigorous. It ripens quite late. And they generally harvest around mid to the end of October. If the yields are too high per plant, they are not pruned back properly. So the acids are extremely sharp and it makes an unbalanced wine. On the other hand, with careful work, these acids, which are actually 6 to 7 grams per liter, are often very elegant and make the wines well-structured and ageable. Also, since Tokai, the botrytis sweet wines are important. Ferment forms an amazing base. It is great to add to other local varietals, which is that grape that I couldn't read before. So Hirschlevelu, And she actually wrote, good luck pronouncing that. And Muscat Lunel for aromas. It produces super juicy, botrytized berries because of its thick skin. Ferment as a dry is actually the only variety, supposedly, that carries the aroma of quince. Otherwise, some cloves, green apples, citrus, yellow-fleshed stone fruits. And then she goes into Ferment USA, which is trying to promote the grape in the United States. And then she apologized for the typos, which I didn't really see any. So thank you so, so much for that, Virag. That was awesome. Wonderful. That is awesome.
Thank you so much for content.
What wine do you have, Debbie?
I have Pajzos, Pajos.
A big
It was $11.99 at Viscount in on Route 9 in Fishkill, New York. But I was surprised, $11.99.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I totally forgot what I paid for it. mine, so bad. Just put it on the charge card, whatever. Mine is Patricius Tokai Dry Ferment. And it is a 2015. And
mine is a 2015 too.
And on the back, it's interesting because it says wow. There's a wow meter, and the wow stands for the weight of the wine. So see that?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So it's kind of equivalent.
Almost like the Riesling scale.
Yeah, it's like a Riesling scale, you know.
But it's on the weight of the wine.
Yeah. And it weighs in at 12% alcohol. So it's not very, it's not very acidic. And you know, you were talking about the differences of how we can, or how they make the ferment. And this, Patricius Tokai was actually voted the most beautiful winery in Hungary in 2013. It was actually, this was in barrel because it doesn't have the high acidity that I was expecting. It's definitely, but they say it's a lightweight because it's way down there.
Really?
Yeah, but, I don't know. It's not what I was expecting it to be. That doesn't mean that it's bad. It just, I really was expecting that huge acid head, and it's not that.
I have that. Well, maybe yours was in the barrel.
Yeah, and I think it was. But a little bit about the winery. The winery was found in the Tokai region and was established by the, here's another name I cannot say, Kessie. K-E-K-E-S-S-Y family. And the owners are Desko Kakesi and his daughter Katinka. And the name Patricius is actually a word for nobleman. That's what it means. And they say it speaks of the family's origins with longstanding roots in the region. Life has come full circle as the family reestablished their life in the Tokai region. So their maternal and paternal ancestors were actually vineyard owners and in the 18th century. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. So they were there and then they left and they came back. So they were actually their families were actually very well known, and the winery is at reconstructed, from a wine press house. I don't know what a wine press house is.
I would say that's probably where they you know, press the wine.
Right, but why call it a wine press house? Like, I guess instead of a winery, it's a wine press house.
Maybe it's lost in the translation.
Yeah, could be. So it was previously, the building was actually previously owned by Jesuits and various aristocratic families. Such as, and I guess I'm supposed to know who these people are, but Wolkenstein and Falkenheim, Shishiani and Rakasia, I don't know, families. So I'm guessing they're pretty big wigs. I don't know who they are. And the building was used as a press house, and it was actually mentioned in Tokai, the album, in 1867. So it's a historical building. The total
mine's corporate.
Total land holdings is only 140 hectares, and only 85% of it is in production. So, and they ripped out 30 hectares to replant. So, and this wine got a 90 points and Best Buy in Wine Enthusiast. So, it was well liked.
Wow,
by them. Yeah, it was well liked by them. So, what about your wine? What you got?
So my wine's kind of corporate. Pajos was established in 1991 by 12 investors, including Jean-Michel Arquio, who born in 1947, passed away in 2001, who was the director of Chateau Clinique in Pomerol, France, okay, and La Croix du Casse in Pomerol, and Beau Soleil. So,
nailed it!
Pomerol. And something else, Jean Caries in Bordeaux. So at the time of the Tokai investment, Acroute was a charismatic, communicative, and highly respected winemaker, and he was at the height of his fame and also managed the renowned Gam Audi wine merchants, which traded in Bordeaux, Grand Cru's, and leading foreign wines, in addition to those mentioned wineries. So other key investors was Jean-Louis Labour.
Okay.
He was an agricultural engineer and owner of a 600-hectare-acre cereal farm, a successful waste treatment company, and numerous Paris properties. He was the background of life in Pajos until 1997. At the end of 1998, he bought Chateau Clinique in Pomerol from Gann Insurance. And then Mager Winery from Gann at the end of 99. And in 2000, Gann Audi managed the trade and winemaking of both companies. So Pajos and Mager are kind of sister companies.
Oh, okay.
Sister wineries. In 2000, Jean-Louis Labordi secured 100% ownership of Mager. Mager, along with the majority share in Pajos, and he assumed management of the companies from Gam Audi. Then he initiated the replanting of the Pajos, ensuring optimal grape production. So that's pretty much it for my corporate wine. I'm sorry, by no offense, don't take any offense on it. It's just, you know, it's owned by more big business than,
you know,
than a small little guy.
We had to get what we could get.
What? I'm sorry, what?
We had to get what we could get. It really was not.
I know. I didn't have a choice. This was it.
Yeah.
This is what Viscount had.
Yeah.
The Pajos Vineyard is on the south-southwest facing land, which is brown earth and clay strips, which mixes with andesite tuff.
Yeah, see, that's tough thing again. I don't know what that is.
Andesite, A-N-D-E-S-I-T-E. Tough. I don't know.
Yeah.
The ground, maybe it's something volcanic. I don't know.
I think so. I just don't.
Excellent heat retaining properties, so grapes ripen beautifully and become supreme ajus berries. There is a stream bordering to the south of the area, which provides humidity necessary for the development of botrytis, oak forests close to the areas of the north. It's 87 hectare acres, of which 54 are currently producing. There are 17 hectare acres of Harzevelu and 17 hectare acres of Holy Cow. I'm not going to pronounce this. Sargamustoli. And 22 hectare acres of ferment, as well as experiment plantations established by the winery in recent years. So that's pretty much it on the vineyard. It says here, My Tokai here was harvested in two stages in mid and late September. During winemaking, we strove to keep low alcohol and preserve fresh fruit notes, but the alcohol level is 13%. 100% stainless steel it was fermented in for 6 months. This has got 90% ferment, 6% Harz Levu, and 4% yellow muscat. The acidity is 5 grams per liter, and the sugars are 5 grams per liter. And it has a potential aging for 2 years.
Yeah, I don't think this would age very long. Like when I did my tasting notes.
To me, this is a drink now wine.
Yeah, that's what I wrote it as. I wrote it as a drink now. My tasting, by the way, while you were talking, I kind of went on Gary's online and checked it. I paid $14.99 for this. What comes to mind is when I smelled it, the first thing that came to mind, and I'll go back to, I had it in the refrigerator. I took it out and I opened it like 15 minutes after the refrigerator. And the first thing that came to me was those lemon drop candies, with that weird face dude on it. And I was like, whoa, okay. Cause that's not you.
When it warmed up, that
settled, but it definitely is lemon. I get lemon and apricot is what I get.
Okay. So when I took it out of the fridge and poured myself a glass, when I smelled it, it smelled a little like, I want to say skunky. I don't know why, but that's immediately what came to my mind. But then as it sat and warmed up a little, and this can be, you know, when you take wine out of the fridge and you pour it right away, you know, you're like, whoa. And then as it warms up,
it evolves.
You really start to get the flavors and it evolves. I get a lot of minerality in mine.
Yeah, as it warmed up, there was no minerality at all when it's cold. And, you know, that's a good learning, that's a good lesson. You know, people very often drink their wine way too cold. And you don't get to experience what the wine, what the fruit has to offer when it's chilly. It's kind of the same thing, you know, like in the middle of winter and you're all bundled up, you could be all like cute and petite and you've got all this junk on you to keep you warm. Nobody knows, you know, you look like you weigh like 5,000 pounds because you have 50,000 layers on. So if you come out of the grape comes out of the refrigerator, it's got all that jacket on it. And it's, you know, the fruit, what you experience isn't there. So very often people drink wine way too cold. And, you know, we've got to learn to relax a bit and take it, let it get a little warmer so that you can experience it. And I think that's a great experiment for people. You know, take a wine, put it in the refrigerator, taste it when it comes out of the refrigerator, have the patience, let it sit, taste it 15 minutes later, have the patience, taste it a half an hour later, and learn how that evolves and learn how the flavors and especially the aromas change as it gets to come into its prime. So
yeah, it does. Because the coldness kind of hides. Mm-hmm. It really hides the true flavors of
got
the
that
wine.
Parka on. What are you gonna do? You can't see what's underneath with the parka on. You know? But I like it better as it warmed up.
Me too. I have to say I do too.
I like it better. It does have minerality. It does not have the high acidity that I thought it would. I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that it was barrel aged at some point, which makes sense. And it has more of a fuller flavor. Again, not bad, just not what I was expecting. But it's definitely apricot and the lemon, that lemon drop has settled down a bit. There's still lemon, but there's apricot. The finish, I would say, is like a medium, like one of the things about ferment is that it's supposed to have a very long finish. I would give it a medium, maybe a medium plus, because it does hit the acid right at the end, so it does linger for a bit. But
acid,
it's not,
just lingers.
Yeah.
It's really strong right now.
Yeah, see, I'm you're
really
you've
strong.
we have two different ways of aging this wine, you know.
Yeah,
it's definitely.
But I get the lemon. I get a lot of minerality.
Right.
I get like white flowers too. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Just rose, but.
But that kind of makes, you know, it goes to whatever region it's. They're saying it's very terroir, you know, driven. So
terroir driven.
You know where it is where it is. You know.
So, I kind of like it. I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah,
it's not bad at all.
It's enough for me to try another one. You know.
Yeah.
I have not.
Too bad I can't like. You know, too bad I can't say, here, try mine.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Because I would like to try yours, too.
Yeah. So, hey, you know, Ferment USA, if you're listening to this, let us know where we can get some more Ferment, because we both had kind of a difficult time getting a bottle. So,
yeah.
You know, we would love to explore Ferment more. Let us know where we can find some more.
Yeah. And if you guys that are listening and you want to go and try Ferment, and I would call ahead to your liquor store to find out if they actually carry it, because I called three stores before I found one.
Yeah, it's
carried it.
Yeah, but so on to food pairings.
What do we think?
All right, it's a well-known fact that the key structural element of pairing wine with food is the naturally occurring acidity in the wine itself. So ferment is kind of one of those, we can do a lot of stuff with it. You know, it's kind of like sparkling wine, you know, like sparkling wine can just go with so many different things. So the acidity of this ferment is actually rather complementary to a large portion of, you know, choices, including white macadamia nut, Clif Bars. Okay. So I'm saying go for that, people. Anyway, so the high acidity holds up to the saltiness and soy sauce and wasabi sauce. So sushi is an option, not happening with me, but it is an option. Pronounced oaking harmonizes well with roasted and grilled meats. And that's not happening on my plate either, but I totally.
That will happen on my plate.
That is?
On my plate.
Okay. But I totally can get the rosemary. Like, for me, a pasta dish in a rosemary sauce, I think this would go phenomenal with rosemary. And they're saying pasta in a white creamy sauce.
That sure, because the cream and the acidity will break down the cream.
Correct. But I would totally throw rosemary sprigs in there, because I'm thinking that's my new love. Game meats, that's a biggie with it. And then here we go. This is all me. Cheese, baby. Cheese, and more cheese. Bellotti, which is kind of like a softer cheese, basket cheese, Havarti. Now I'm a big Havarti fan, and I can see that. And even the brie, and no, you know, rosemary on the brie again, that's actually lavender on there. But I kind of think that would be pretty darn amazing if you ask me. So those are the cheeses that are recommended. And then if you go to the sweeter, yeah, if you go to the Azu, it's, you know, they're talking foie gras, and which, okay.
I'm not big foie gras either.
Yeah. And then, you know, just right there, the enlarged liver of a force-fed duck or goose. Now, I mean, not to get on a whole other ball game, but seriously, force-feeding a duck or a goose, is that really necessary?
Yeah. Yuck.
But that is what is recommended. So that is the food pairings.
When I was in France, there were some dinners we had with foie gras, and yeah, not a fan. Oh, but you have to admit that Jordan, we were just at a wine conference in Sonoma. That Jordan caviar, I know you didn't eat it, but it was really good. That was my first experiment with
caviar. Yeah, I will just say,
I was so impressed.
I will just say that if you want to go experience luxury at not so much a luxury price, because they're not, their prices aren't out of control, but
Jordan
excels in hospitality. The wine is exceptional, and just how they treat people. Like, you will feel like a king or a queen at Jordan. And the price, it's not, you're not paying to be king or queen, and it's amazing. So Jordan, Lisa Mattson, again, spectacular job at the Wine Bloggers Conference. But
yes, it was amazing. I had the best time there. It was just, they take hospitality to a whole nother level.
Yes, yes. But, so back to ferment.
Five fun facts. It is the flagship wine of Hungary. Keep calm and enjoy ferment in February. February 1st is Ferment Day. Ferment is a cross between, how did you say that?
I said Gouache Blanc.
I said Gouache. Goula. No, Gouache.
Gouache.
Blanc. And they don't know who the daddy is. Other countries it's grown in. Northern Slovenia, Northern Croatia, Slovakia, Romania. And other names that it's known by. Mosler, Moslavic, Posip, Sipon. How'd I do?
You nailed it. Nailed it.
So those are the five fun facts of ferment.
Yay! I'm not quite sure how I feel about ferment, but I definitely will explore more. Like, if I was at a wine bar and there was a ferment, I would definitely, like, all right, let me give it a shot.
I would too.
It's.
And I think the one that I have, I think I would like as sitting on my back deck in the summertime.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, if it's that high acidity, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can see it going with oysters that I don't eat.
All right. Well, I think for somebody who hasn't had ferment, I think if you like sparkling wine, if you like a, you know, a Brut, I kind of see it equivalent to that, like a pairing wise, pairing wise.
Yeah, I see a little bit of acidity, like a Riesling.
Oh, I'm talking about it. Yeah, I agree. Like close to Riesling. I'm thinking of, like, if you have a ferment and you don't know what, you know, to pair it with, like the things that go with.
With sparkling wine.
Yeah. The thing, you know, because the oysters, the, you know, I don't know.
I don't know if I can see this with venison. Maybe the oak, I can see the oak one more with the venison.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Can't tell you what venison tastes like.
Cheese-friendly wine.
Don't eat Bambi.
It's definitely a creamy cheese-friendly wine.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm a bad person to do food pairing. You should do that all the time. I'm a bad person. I don't know what any of this stuff tastes like, because not like, you know,
you're not getting me eating elk.
Not eating Bambi, not eating Thumper, not happening. You know? If there is a cartoon character of that animal, it's not good. Yeah. Foghorn Leghorn. I don't even want to eat Foghorn Leghorn. You know.
But no, this is, I'm, like I said, I like it when it's warmed up.
Yes, yes.
The characteristics really come out and really come out to play. They're dormant when it's too cold.
Yes, I agree. Don't let it come closer to room temperature before you start sipping away.
Before you drink it. And it's still, you know, even if it's a hot summer's night, it's still enjoyable. Don't think you have to have it really, really cold.
And at 12% alcohol.
Mine's 13. Yeah. I'm one up on you.
You are, yeah. This is, so my label actually suggests, this is the back label, from our family's vineyards in Tokaj, the world's first designated wine appellation. This is a bright and racy dry white wine filled with a mouthful of stone fruit and tropical flavors. all complemented by hints of minerality. Pair with seafood, roasted or grilled chicken, wonderful with sushi, and Asian cuisine. Join our table, drink our wine, and learn more at Twitter. Oh, shout out! They're on Twitter.
Oh, there you go.
And there's a hashtag, #drinkformint.
There you go.
So we'll have to add that when we talk about this on social media.
Yeah, we'll have to. But I'm kind of liking my comment.
Yeah.
So this kind of wraps it up.
Yeah, it does wrap it up.
Next month.
Yes.
Next month. Hold on. Let me get you the link.
The
you
letter.
Next month.
Yep. The letter of the day.
Tell everybody.
The letter of the day is G. And Elmo is going to be talking Gruner. Groovy Gruner.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, so I've actually had a Gruner before. There was a wine pairing weekend that we did Gruner. The one I had was Groovy Gruner. But I picked up a different one. While I was out for ferment, I picked up the Gruner also.
I got Gruner at home. I have some that came with my Somm Select Wine Club.
Oh, okay.
And I have some that I purchased. So I have a choice. I don't know which one. I've got a choice of like three Gruners for that for next month. I'll have to sit. I don't know. And I'm not going to taste them at all beforehand. I'm just going to do eeny, meeny, miny, moe. And
so I actually was not going to taste my ferment until we got on camera, but I was a little afraid of what my face would be when I when I tasted it, because I had no clue what really to expect. So, but I like it. I mean, it's a good wine. So maybe next month, I think that's what we should do. We should not pre-party. I think we should not tailgate beforehand, and we should just taste it for the first time when we're on camera. That should be a new added feature for those who come and watch, because obviously that's not going to happen on the podcast. You can't see our faces. But
our facial expressions will tell it all.
I think that should be a new added feature to Wine for Bet Street. This is our initial, because this face doesn't lie. I can't hide a thing. So unless I'm playing poker, then I kind of kick, you know, yeah, I can.
Oh, that's right. You like the gambling.
Yeah, I can lie the bejesus on a poker table, but yeah, no. So, you know, putting food in when I taste the food or I drink a wine, you know right away whether I like it or not. So I think we should.
Yeah, I'm the same way too.
I think we should hold that.
Tell it all.
Yeah. We should hold off. We should not, you know, not take a sip until we're on camera.
Okay.
Deal?
It's a deal.
All right.
Deal.
All right. Yeah, handshake.
It's a deal.
Okay. All right. Well, I would like to thank everybody who joined tonight to watch us on live stream. And, you know, don't forget, we will have this up on both of our YouTube channels later, eventually. It's Thanksgiving almost, so
yeah,
eventually. And it will also, for those of you who listen to podcasts, we will be on our podcast. Now, Debbie, yeah. I am like all over on podcasts, so iTunes, please head over to iTunes and give us both a review.
I'm on iTunes. I'm on a whole bunch of them too.
It's called
Uncork Your Mind.
There you go. Okay.
Yep.
Uncork Your Mind. So I am Dracaena Wines Podcast. Just, you know, head over to iTunes, give us a nice little review. It's the best way to let people find us. And, you know, we appreciate everything that you guys write. If there's something you would like to hear, you know, if you've got a future letter for us that you would like to know about, give us a holler, give us a shout out.
Or a suggestion on a wine we should cover with that letter.
Right, right. So we've got Gruner. We actually do have H, but we're going to keep that a secret. But we don't have I, do we?
No, we don't. That's going to be a challenge.
No. We do have I. We do have I. I thought we were... We'll talk about that later.
I
thought we had I. Okay. But yeah, give us...
If
you know of an eye, let us know, because eyes are a little rough. So.
All right. Well, listen, everyone, have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yes. Happy
Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's on Thursday. And you know what? This probably would go pretty well with your turkey.
Oh, I think so. I think it will.
I think so too. I think it'll go well with your turkey. So if you see a ferment in your liquor store and want to try it with your turkey, I'd love to know what you think of it.
Yeah, because I am opening a Riesbacius Albarino on our Thanksgiving table, and kind of fits the same kind of profile. So I think a ferment would work well.
Yes.
So have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. And
yes, have a great
thank
one.
You for listening. Cheers. And thanks for tuning in. And my glass is empty, but sláinte.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions of what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media or at dracenawines@gmail.com. If you liked our podcast, please subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting program you use. To easily subscribe at iTunes, please go to bit.ly/DracenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/D Dracena and P Podcast. We would greatly appreciate you leaving a review on your favorite system. It helps others to find us. Let's get social. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Pinterest, YouTube, Google Plus, and Periscope at Dracena Wines. And I am on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd. Check out our award-winning wine at DracenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte.